I'm going to read now from Daniel chapter 8. And I would love it if you can open up your Bibles or your maybe on your phone at home, Daniel chapter 8. Now, I understand there's people watching this stream from different places and different churches, and many of you haven't been here for our whole series on Daniel. So a little bit of background. Daniel is a character from the Old Testament. He was a man whose city was captured by the armies of Babylon when he was a teenager. And he was taken to the far-off city of Babylon, and he was put to work for its kings. And the first half of this book of Daniel told the story of his life. Well, the second half of the book, which is where we're up to now, Daniel tells us about some of his dreams, some of the things that God revealed to him in dreams. Now, both parts of the book, both the stories and the dreams, have the same message. They teach us to have hope in a hostile world. And so today it's Daniel chapter 8, and let me tell you, you are in for an adventure. I'll read the whole chapter, but in my sermon I'll mostly be looking at the first 14 verses. Hear now the word of God. In the third year of King Belshazzar's reign, I, Daniel, had a vision after the one that had already appeared to me. In my vision, I saw myself in the citadel of Susa in the province of Elam. In the vision, I was beside the Ulai Canal. I looked up, and there before me was a ram with two horns standing beside the canal, and the horns were long. One of the horns was longer than the other, but grew up later. I watched the ram as it charged toward the west and the north and the south. No animal could stand against it, and none could rescue from its power. It did as it pleased and became great. As I was thinking about this, suddenly a goat with a prominent horn between its eyes came from the west, crossing the whole earth without touching the ground. It came toward the two-horned ram I had seen standing beside the canal and charged at it in great rage. I saw it attack the ram furiously, striking the ram and shattering its two horns. The ram was powerless to stand against it. The goat knocked it to the ground and trampled on it, and none could rescue the ram from its power. The goat became very great, but at the height of its power, the large horn was broken off, and in its place four prominent horns grew up toward the four winds of heaven. Out of one of them came another horn, which started small but grew in power to the south and to the east and toward the beautiful land. It grew until it reached the host of the heavens, and it threw some of the starry host down to the earth and trampled on them. It set itself up to be as great as the commander of the army of the Lord. It took away the daily sacrifice from the Lord, and his sanctuary was thrown down. Because of rebellion, the Lord's people and the daily sacrifice were given over to it. It prospered in everything it did, and truth was thrown to the ground. Then I heard a holy one speaking, and another holy one said to him, "How long will it take for the vision to be fulfilled, the vision concerning the daily sacrifice, the rebellion that causes desolation, and the surrender of the sanctuary and the trampling underfoot of the Lord's people?" He said to me, "It will take 2,300 evenings and mornings, then the sanctuary will be reconsecrated." While I, Daniel, was watching the vision and trying to understand it, there before me stood one who looked like a man. And I heard a man's voice from the Ulai calling, "Gabriel, tell this man the meaning of the vision." As he came near the place where I was standing, I was terrified and fell prostrate. "Son of man," he said to me, "understand that the vision concerns the time of the end." While he was speaking to me, I was in a deep sleep with my face to the ground, and then he touched me and raised me to my feet. He said, "I'm going to tell you what will happen later in the time of wrath, because the vision concerns the appointed time of the end. The two-horned ram that you saw represents the kings of Media and Persia. The shaggy goat is the king of Greece, and the large horn between its eyes is the first king. The four horns that replace the one that was broken off represent four kingdoms that will emerge from his nation but will not have the same power. In the latter part of their reign, when rebels have become completely wicked, a fierce-looking king, a master of intrigue, will arise, and he will become very strong, but not by his own power. He will cause astounding devastation and will succeed in whatever he does. He will destroy those who are mighty, the holy people. He will cause deceit to prosper, and he will consider himself superior. And when they feel secure, he will destroy many and take his stand against the prince of princes. Yet he will be destroyed, but not by human power. The vision of the evenings and mornings that has been given you is true, but seal up the vision, for it concerns the distant future. Well, I, Daniel, was worn out. I lay exhausted for several days, and then I got up and went about the king's business. I was appalled by the vision. It was beyond understanding. Well, friends, this is God's word. Let's pray. Let's ask for his help to understand what we've just read. Heavenly Father, you are a God who reveals yourself, your character, and your purposes to us. Please, as we reflect on your word now, please give us understanding. Teach us to respond to you and to your word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, a couple of years ago, not long after Harry married Megan, I had a dream that I was asked to be the minister at another royal wedding. And I woke up so amused by my dream that I wrote it down. And I saved it on my phone, and so this is what I wrote. In the morning, I gave a talk at the castle. It seemed to go well. Afterwards, I got chatting to lots of people, and I remember in the background seeing all sorts of people arriving with cakes and slices on plastic plates, no doubt for the wedding reception. Where things started to go not so well was when a man in uniform came and said, "It's time to go." At this point, I went to pick up my sermon notes, but I couldn't find them. I was running around in a panic. I was looking everywhere. Until at one point I looked up and I saw the Queen in the back of her Rolls Royce saying, "It's time to go. We're late." And she gave a wave and she took off. "No worries, ma'am. I'll see you there." And this was, of course, the point where I looked down and realised that I was in my blue pyjamas. Well, eventually, I found a shirt and pants. They were crumpled. I didn't have time to iron them. I couldn't find a tie, but I did grab my iPad. I remember in the dream, I downloaded a copy of my sermon from iCloud. And then in my dream, I remembered something. Oh, no. This is an Anglican wedding service. I've never done one of them before. And so I had to quickly sit there and Google Anglican wedding service. And I've still got the picture in my mind of how this dream ended. I was driving down a long driveway with trees either side, and I was driving down this driveway in my 1999 model Subaru Impreza. Well, I don't know what delusions of grandeur or maybe what hidden anxieties that dream might reveal about me, but it's an example of how dreams can combine familiar images with unrealistic situations. And Daniel's dream that we read just now does that. There's things we recognise, like sheep and goats and horns, but they're doing things that we wouldn't expect to see in real life. Unlike my dream, Daniel's dream is a revelation from God. This is God telling him and us about his plans and purposes. And he's telling us about this in a very vivid, memorable way. But what does this dream mean? And how does it actually help us today? Well, in these dreams, there's lots of details, and I don't want us to get lost in the details. What I want to do this morning is two things. First, I want to show you the overall shape of the dream, because there's a direction that this dream leads us into. And secondly, I want us to see how our situation today, as we live in this kind of partial lockdown, how our situation is in some ways similar, but also in some ways different to what this dream talks about. And by doing this, we might get some clues about what God's doing through the turmoil that our world is in today. I think this dream works something like a video camera, which starts with a wide angle. And then partway through the dream, it zooms in, and then it zooms in again. The wide angle starts in verse 3. I looked up, and there before me was a ram with two horns. And we learn later on in the chapter that the ram represents the great kingdom of Persia. This was an age of empires. This was a time after Daniel when the Persians expanded and ended up ruling everything between India and Europe. But hang on, look at verse 5. As I was thinking about this, suddenly a goat with a prominent horn between its eyes came from the west. And so there's this great battle between the shaggy goat and the two-horned ram, and the goat turns out to be the winner. Again, later on in the chapter, we learn that the goat represents a great king of Greece. For Daniel, all these events were still hundreds of years in the future. But for us, this is actually ancient history. I remember in year 7 at high school, I had to do an assignment on Alexander the Great, the king of the Greeks, who in just 13 years' time, he conquered most of the known world of that day. Alexander came as a surprise to the Persians, but clearly he wasn't a surprise for God. And that's good for us to know. I mean, in the book of Daniel, we've already learnt that God has the power over kings. He raises kings up and he brings them down as he pleases. But this is a reminder that as God uses his power, it's according to his plan that he's worked out in advance. As today's world-changing events happen around us, we don't know what's ahead. We're just sort of scratching our heads week by week as the situation develops and saying, okay, well, what do we do now? But not God. He's been prepared for this day since the beginning of time. And this makes a huge difference about how we respond to situations like this. Because if you think that what's happening in the world are random, uncontrolled accidents, then whenever something happens that gets in the way of you enjoying your life, surely that can only be a loss. But if God is working according to a plan, then yes, there are still losses for us, but there is also gain, even in times like this. One person emailed me during the week, someone who, because of family circumstances, hasn't been able to get to church much this year. But she watched the live stream last week and she said, well, this is something good coming out of something not good. Okay, so that's the wide angle. Now the medium angle. The camera zooms in and tells us the story of one corner of this empire. See, after Alexander the Great died, there was a struggle for power amongst his troops. His empire broke up into four parts. In verse 9, out of one of them came another horn, which started small but grew in power to the south and to the east and toward the beautiful land. And when he says the beautiful land, this is Daniel's way of talking about his home country, the land of Israel, the land that his people are going back to. Now, there's details in this chapter about a particular king who will rise up and will persecute God's people. Later on in the chapter, the angel describes him as a fierce-looking king. And all the details seem to match up with a king called Antiochus IV. There's a picture of him on a coin. I don't know, does his face look fierce? You know that guy, don't you? Antiochus IV? No, I didn't study him at school either. He's not such a big character in world history. But, get this, he is important in God's view of history. Because the point is that God is not necessarily focused on the things which make big news headlines. God's eye is on his people and on what's happening to them. Hey, Daniel's vision must have been a help for the people who lived through that time, the time of Antiochus. It must have helped them to have hope in a hostile world. As they saw these things coming true, as it got hard, as they suffered, it must have been a comfort to know that, yeah, this is going to happen, but only for a time. It will end. Because at the end of the chapter, verse 25, it says, eventually God will destroy this fierce king. And so surely it's also a comfort to us to know that God has a track record of being able to predict the future. Because a lot of Christianity is about delayed gratification. Let me explain. What I mean is that, okay, if you're a Christian, there are good things today. If we know Christ, we have peace in our hearts. We have been given a community to care for us. But there's also more that we're still waiting for. We live with one eye looking up to heaven, waiting for Jesus to return. And so if God was able to do all this that he showed to Daniel, then doesn't that give us confidence that he can also do all the things that he's promised for us? Okay, so God's eye is on his people. Let's zoom in one more time, because we're going to see where this dream finishes. Verse 12. I think this is the key verse. This is kind of the point of the dream. It says, verse 12, because of rebellion, the Lord's people and the daily sacrifice were given over to the horn, to the fierce king. It prospered in everything it did, and truth was thrown to the ground. Okay, I feel like I need to explain a few things here. It's saying this thing happened because of rebellion. What kind of rebellion? Who were God's people rebelling against? Well, in the original language, the word that's used here to describe rebellion is one of the key words that describes sin. It's a word which shows us that when we sin, we rebel against God, our heavenly King. And so what's the result? Well, the result is that God allows the temple, the place of worship, the place of sacrifice, to stop operating for a time. God allows the temple to shut down operations. And this is exactly what happened during the time of that king, Antiochus. He shut down the temple for 3 and a bit years, and he set up idols inside it. And so here's the point of Daniel's dream. This dream says, Daniel, because of the sins of God's people, the time will come when they are unable to worship at the temple for a while. And so what does this mean for us today? How does this relate to us on a day when churches across Australia, in fact, churches in many places around the world, are closed? Well, I want you to see that in some ways our situation is similar, but in other ways it's different. First of all, we're facing slightly different pressures than the people were at that time. This chapter is all about persecution. about a king who wants to wipe out the religion of God's people. Now, the doors of Reservoir Presbyterian Church are not closed today because of persecution. We're following a government instruction, but it's an instruction which is good for us. It's to protect our community. We need this time of physical distancing so that we can slow down the spread of disease. And so we're not facing persecution, so that's different, but we are facing pressure. We do feel the pressure. We're not being persecuted, but in some ways, what we're going through has a similar effect. Because we're experiencing disruption, and we're experiencing stress, and we're experiencing uncertainty. And I know a number of you in church have lost your jobs and are just trying to figure out, well, what happens next? At the start of the human story, when sin first came into the world, sin brought changes to human nature so that people persecute each other. But also, human sin affected creation itself. It's because of that first sin that we are living in a world of disaster and of disease. And so all hardships are connected in some way. They all in some way relate back to that first sin. And so how should we respond to hardship, whatever form hardship comes in? Well, in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 7, it says, endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as his children. For what children are not disciplined by their father? Remember, God's eye is on his people. And the Bible tells us that sometimes he allows hardship to come our way as part of his fatherly discipline. And it's not because he hates us. Because you tell me, do parents discipline their kids because they hate them? Or do parents discipline their kids because they love them? They want their kids to grow up to be the best that they can be. And so, what is God doing through this coronavirus? Well, I wouldn't want to give a simple answer to that question, because God is able to do many things at once in the lives of many different people, many different communities, many different countries. Already in the book of Daniel, we've thought about how God judges the nations. We've already thought about maybe this is a wake-up call to an unbelieving world, to say, stop, think about eternal things. We've already thought about that. But could it be that what's going on now is also God's loving, fatherly discipline for his church, for us? Could it be that he's giving us a time of limited shopping so that we can recognize and repent of our materialism? Could it be that he's giving us this time of stillness so that we can recognize and repent of our excessive busyness, of our desire to do everything through our own strength? So don't waste this opportunity. Don't just fill your days with 24-hour media noise. Take the opportunity to read, to reflect, to repent, to pray. Secondly, the situation in this dream is a bit different to ours, because that dream was all about the temple. But we don't have a temple like that. We have a different temple. The temple being shut down back then in the Old Testament is not quite the same as the church building being shut down. See, in the Old Testament, the temple was the place for God's people to connect with him. The temple represented a meeting between heaven and earth. But when Jesus came, this is something that Jesus said. Jesus said, destroy this temple and I will raise it again in 3 days. And you read the story that comes from, it's clear that Jesus is talking about himself. Jesus was saying, I am the true temple. Jesus was saying, I am the true meeting place between God and man. It's through Jesus that we have access to God. That's why when we pray, we often finish by saying, in Jesus' name. And what we mean when we say that is that it's only through Jesus, it's only because he's our Saviour, that we have the right to approach God and the confidence to know that we're heard and that he responds in a loving way. You know, you could say that when Jesus died on the cross, when Jesus died because of his people's rebellion, because of our rebellion, when Jesus died on the cross, you could say that the temple was shut down for a time. The true temple, Jesus, the temple, was shut down, but only for a short time, because on the third day he came alive. And he remains alive forevermore. And so, get this, we can shut down this church building, but nobody can shut Jesus down. We have full access to God because Jesus is still our temple. And he is with us always. He's with you. Even when you're home alone, he's with you. Even in your sickness, you have access to God. If you trust in Jesus, even your sin can't cut you off from God anymore, because the shutdown because of your sins happened once when Jesus died on the cross. It's finished. It will never be repeated again. And so that's actually a massive difference. That's a reason for us to rejoice, even though what's going on is going on. But of course, there is something similar between this dream and what we're experiencing today. Because we can't meet together to worship God like we usually do. Online streaming is great. It's so much better than having nothing at all. Someone described streaming church versus being at church is a little bit like the difference between watching a video of a fireplace and standing in front of a fire. Because it's when we're together, it's good. When we're together, we hear each other's voices. We get to speak words of encouragement. When we're together, it actually helps us to experience more of the joys of God. And that's why parts of the New Testament talk about not just Jesus is the new temple, but also God's people who gather together are described as the new temple. You notice that Daniel woke up from his dream worn out. The idea that the temple's going to be shut down, that makes him sad. And it is sad that we can't meet. It's sad that some people in our community don't have access to the internet and this live stream. By my last count, there's 43 people who are part of our church who we can't contact by email and presumably are not able to be watching this morning. And so let me encourage you. The fact that you are watching this means that you have either a computer or a phone. And so can I encourage you to use them well this week? To choose somebody that you can call up? To choose somebody and ask them helpful questions. How are you going spiritually? How can I pray for you? Do you need anything practical? Let's be the church as best we can during these circumstances. Because, friends, God knows what he's doing in the world today. Even if we can't fully make sense of it. God's eye is on his people. And he loves us. He loves us enough to humble us so that we will learn to love one another all the more. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the warnings in your word to expect tough times, times of distance, times of separation. But Lord, we thank you for your promise that through all of these troubles and trials, you are at work, that you are doing something good in us, in our community, in our world. Father, please strengthen our faith. Enable us to keep going each day this week, looking to Jesus. We pray this in his name. Amen.